From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're happy to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, the message is called Christ, the Servant of God, the Savior of Sinners, and the Separator of Men. John chapter 9 recounts Christ healing the man blind from birth, an astounding miracle which reveals much about the Savior and His earthly ministry. Perhaps one of the greatest lessons shown here is the compassionate, selfless love of Christ for others. How we need this in the church and in our personal lives today. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to report on Richard Roberts and other charismatic financial scandals.
Three Oral Roberts University professors have filed a lawsuit against the university because, they allege, they were fired on account of their exposing financial mismanagement. They charge that ORU misspent tax dollars on Richard Roberts, the president of the school. Back in October, Richard Roberts told CNN's Larry King Live that, quotes, it sure seems that someone is out to get him. The university's Board of Regents said it would hire an auditor to look into the accusations of misconduct, and its founder, 89-year-old Oral Roberts, a pioneer of the prosperity gospel, told King that he supported an investigation. If there's anything out of line, we will bring it into order, like we have always done. All that was in October. By the end of December, amid moves by the regents to strengthen the university's financial accountability, Richard Roberts resigned. In October, he had done nothing that would cause him even to step aside temporarily. In December, the scandal was hurting the school so much that he just had to go. Then Christianity Today reported, days after Roberts' resignation, Mark Green, founder of the Hobby Lobby and Mardell retail chains, donated $70 million to ORU, most of it dependent on reforms in the school's leadership, finances, and governance. The school had been $52 million in debt. Isn't it amazing that Richard Roberts, if the lawsuit filed by the three professors is to be believed, could have the university install a $15,000 oven for his family, provide him the use of a private jet, and spend over $50,000 on modifications to dorm rooms his daughters would occupy, all the while ORU was drowning in debt? Doesn't that sound amazing? But it seems par for the course for preachers of the prosperity gospel to fund their lavish lifestyles on the debt that they lead other people into. Currently, Congress is investigating a number of television preachers whose lifestyle is so lavish as to be obscene. I have a difficulty with that investigation. Congress has no real business interfering in the theological beliefs of the prosperity gospelers, however crazy their beliefs may be. Congress does have every reason to examine their use of tax-free dollars. In other words, it appears that some of the super-rich televangelists are not satisfied with their multi-million dollar incomes. They want to escape paying tax on all that they earn, and so they use ministry expense accounts, on which there's no tax payable, to cover their personal expenditures. Some big names are being investigated, but after the dust settles, foolish people will continue to shell out their hard-earned cash to unscrupulous charlatans who will grow rich at their expense. You see, the prosperity gospel crowd has found a chord that resonates with a lot of people. All across America, people are struggling with their finances. Millions are already hopelessly in debt. So when a preacher tells them that God has revealed a foolproof plan for them to become rich, they jump at it. Many even use their credit cards to pay the televangelists, many of whom urge them to do so, getting further into debt in the process. Many of the victims are old or simple-minded, but many of them are not. They're just looking for an easy buck. In every case, the televangelists use a few Bible texts out of context and tell a few specious but spurious stories, and people cough up the money. It's sad. It's sickening. It's cynically sinful. But it pays, at least for the moment. But the prosperity charlatans have their day of reckoning coming. Congress may do some of them in, but whether it does or not, God will deal with them. As I think of that day, I think of Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22. I wouldn't take all the money in the world to risk being in that crowd on that day.
Unclear, Jesus, I'm glad I'm
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Jesus was reaching the end of his life. We're now in the last 6 months of his life. He says, the night is coming. The day of opportunity for my earthly ministry is soon to be over. I must work. Christ labored throughout his life. He lived with a divine compulsion. You remember that Paul felt the same compulsion? 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Do you know what's wrong in our churches today? Somehow or other we have got the notion that all it takes to be a preacher is to have an education, to be able to read a wee bit of Hebrew and a wee bit of Greek and a wee bit of theology and a wee bit of church history, and if you've the gift of the gab to go along with it, if you're able to use the English language fairly well, then that's all it takes to be a preacher. It may be a little better if you're a good PR man, if you know how to stroke people the proper way, that'll make you a preacher. And that's why our churches have become businesses and very poorly run ones at that. There was a time when to stand behind the sacred desk placed upon a man a burden intolerable to the flesh. When he says, necessity is laid upon me, I'm doing this because under God I cannot do anything else but this. There is this divine woe. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I know of preachers who could say they were called of God to preach, but they suddenly turned to be businessmen of this kind and that kind and the other kind because it was easier to make money doing that than it was in the pulpit. Where have we got to in the Christian ministry when we have lost the woe that compels the preacher to be faithful to Jesus Christ? Woe is unto me. Paul felt that compulsion. Peter felt it, and I think he spoke for all the early Christians. When commanded not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, he told the Jewish leaders in Acts 4 and verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't do anything else. Now the price was high. Most of the apostles were murdered. Martyred. The price was high. These men like Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, who as working men were certainly not poor men, men of some property, men of some position, reduced to nothing, living in poverty. Well, the cost was high, but listen, it is worth any price to do the work of God. It is worth any price to do the work of God. That's why it has often been said to young men called of God to preach, if God has called you to be a preacher, do not stoop to become a king. It's worth any price. Think of how Paul put it to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11. He spoke of himself always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. His meaning actually is very simple. What he's saying to the Corinthians is, in our suffering and by our suffering, we show the world that Jesus lives. We suffer gladly, therefore, for the sake of Jesus Christ, in order that the power of the living Christ may be demonstrated among you. It's worth it all to see God's work done and God's name glorified. The Lord Jesus and his disciples lived with a divine compulsion. Do you feel anything of that compulsion? Does it ever burn in your heart? I must work for Christ. I must witness for Christ. I must give my all to glorify Christ. Away with the petty things. Away with the things that distract. Away with all the things that wrap me up in my blanket of, or should I say, my shroud of self-pity. Away with them all. Away with the excuses. I must work for Christ. Whatever my earthly avocation. Whatever my earthly position, whatever my earthly possessions, they are all in the altar for God. I must work for Christ. Do you know anything of that divine compulsion? The day is short. Your day is short. And so is mine. There's a time coming when, as far as this world's concerned, you'll not be able to speak another word for Jesus. You'll never attend another prayer meeting. You'll never go after another soul. You'll never witness to another sinner. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. He lived with a divine compulsion. I can only summarize the rest. He loved with a deep compassion. You see that in His dealings with the blind man. He set His eyes on him. He saw him. That was not a casual glance. That was the look of one who knew the man and was looking for him until he found him. It was a look of infinite pity, of kindness. For Christ felt for that man as no one else did. He saw the man, not just his shape, his appearance, his circumstances. He saw the man and He knew him inside out. He saw his need. He saw his struggles. He saw his pain. He saw his loneliness. He saw his hopelessness. And He understood that man better than the man understood himself. He set His eyes upon him. And He set His heart on him too. He was a man born blind, poor and reduced to begging for a living, helpless, dependent on others, incapable of being much use to anybody, condemned by popular prejudice to bear the blame for faults of which he was never guilty. And yet the Lord Jesus chose him to be one of the greatest means in all his ministry of glorifying God. And perhaps that's the real reason why the Lord Jesus made clay and covered his eyes. You see, there was a message in the act. He was taking clay. Now, what value is a handful of muck or mud? What value? None. Look at that man in the eyes of the world. What good was he to anybody? What use was he to society or the church or even to God? He couldn't even earn a living. But you see, the Lord Jesus was sending the message, I'm taking a mean thing, a thing to which the world would attach no value whatsoever, and I'm going to use that to do my greatest work and glorify my Father in heaven. And you know, that's how the Lord Jesus usually works. That's how He worked with you, and that's how He worked with me. Remember how Paul put it? At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, not many of this and the great and the others are called. God doesn't do it. Now there's some. There are some wise and great and noble, but very few, for most of them will never feel their need. But God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. God hath chosen the base things of the world, the things that are despised, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That gives me a great deal of hope. The God who could use clay in the healing of a blind man. The God who could take that poor blind beggar and make him a preeminent testimony to His grace. That's the God that can take you and me. Oh, here is love indeed. As I sat in my study thinking of that, the thought that came to mind, oh, for a love like this, God, teach me how to love. I think if there's one thing missing in all of us, it is the ability to love with a deep compassion. For a love that looks beyond the appearance and sees the value of a soul. For a love that can look beyond human degradation and see the possibilities of what God can do with that degraded piece of humanity.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.